Thank you, Doug.
And our young helpers can be
released to Children's Church at this time. And I hope you will stay at John chapter 6. We'll be looking at that as we go. Happy to announce that I'm still on my New Year's diet and exercise program. Anybody else? I always think of Thanksgiving to New Year's as kind of a dietary avalanche. It's just no possible way to get away from it. One of the things I like to do at the end of a year is to go and see if I can finish some of the books that I've started during the year. And so I've been doing that. One was a book about just physical health, written by a physician, and a dear friend of mine had recommended it to me. And he says in the book, I'm not going to give you a diet and an exercise program. I'm going to tell you how nutritional biochemistry kind of works in layman's terms, because I need that. And I just want to let you know that there's a time in your life when if you are in the avalanche, if you're in a metabolic avalanche, it's going to be real hard to climb back up the hill from there. And so it's better to do things sooner than later as far as taking care of yourself goes. And so this is not a new idea. This is a huge conversation. I was just in the different news feeds that I looked at this week, this was a big topic of conversation. It was a big topic of conversation in the just past presidential election, Make America Healthy Again. And this guy in his book says, you know, when it comes to kinds of foods and kinds of diets that we eat, he says, it's gotten very tribal. Everybody is very sure of themselves. And he said, I've been in a couple of those tribes, but as I study more and more of the research, and this is my area of medicine, I'm not convinced about the things I was convinced of a while ago. And so some people are sure you should only eat vegetables. Some people are sure you should only eat meat, and on and on. And he says it's actually kind of a very religious practice when it comes to our food intake. This is all historically very interesting because this is the first time in human history when it's much more likely that we will have health problems and even die because we've had too much food instead of not enough food. And so human beings are wired to be able to eat a lot of food because for most of human history, we've been living from one meal to another. And so we have always had to be able to take advantage of an opportunity. If you see a tree that's full of ripe figs, the way to survive was to stop and eat them all. And that would keep you going for a few more days. But now we are in a whole new kind of a thing. Someone described it in a different article this week as limbic capitalism. Whatever is that? And he's describing the area of the brain, the limbic area. I don't know. I believe him. That's the area, he says, that controls our addictions. It's the area that provides the dopamine that makes us feel so good when we do certain things. And he says there are whole industries that are created just to formulate addictions for us in all kinds of areas. And so they invent things that are addictive to us in social media, pornography, drugs, food, alcohol, even exercise, even religion, if we approach things in an addictive sort of a way. My daughter, youngest daughter, taught sixth graders a year before this last year, and she said that when you get half of your classroom of 12-year-olds who are living on Cheetos and Mountain Dew, the classroom really stinks. That was her bottom line. She said, but that was their addiction. And so then we get a whole nother side of the industry that's probably investing in the first side of the industry, pharmaceuticals that are inventing ways to help us overcome our addictions that they invented for us. And so we pay a lot of money in and out. Now it seems like we're winning because we have control. We can get food, we can get whatever makes us happy, but we're not happy, and that's the problem. And our success has turned out to be rather a dangerous thing. This is not new. Thousands of years ago, the Lord spoke through the prophet Haggai in your Bible, and he said this: you planted much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but not enough to get filled. We're still hungry and still thirsty. You put on clothes, but no one is warm. And whoever earns wages puts them in a bag full of holes. All your coins are falling out onto the road as you go. That's how he describes them back then, and that's how we are right now. We are a culture with full bellies and empty souls. That's the world we live in right now. We imagine that we plus our wealth is enough. I got everything I need. I got healthcare, I got education, I got transportation, I got housing, I got this, I got that. And yet, my soul is empty. We still, even more than ever, need Jesus as the bread from heaven. Amen. We need him, and it's this wealth of ours, this success of ours, is very dangerous because it masks that need. Jesus was talking to people in the scene where Doug was reading. He was talking to people that were actually hungry. That's why Jesus fed them. They followed him way out into the wilderness, and he felt bad for them. They don't have any place to get any food. And so he fed them. And so they were people that saw their need much more readily than we see our need. We don't think we need anything. I'll get this. If I can just get a little bit more money, get a little bit more this, get a little more that, if I can get on this program or that program, I'll be fine. And the answer is no, you won't be fine. You and I need the Lord Jesus. And that's what Jesus is describing for us here. So in John's gospel here at chapter 6, we hear Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Well, this is part of the design of John's gospel. He's going to have Jesus giving us, I think, 7 I am statements. And this is the first of them. And so we're going to stop and ponder what that means for us. As Doug said, Jesus had just fed thousands. You can read that earlier in the chapter. They said, this is fantastic. He heals us. He feeds us. Let's make him king. And so Jesus said to his 12, he said, get back in the boat and get back home to Capernaum across the lake, and I'll catch up with you because I'm going to go pray. And so Jesus literally ran away from the people trying to make him king. He said, no, that's not what I came here for. That's not what you understand. So the people came back in the morning. Where's Jesus? We saw the disciples leave, but he's gone. So they all made their way back around the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, and that's where they find him again. And Jesus is being a little bit cynical with them. You came and found me because you wanted more food. He knows what's in our hearts. But I am the bread that you need. That's his message to them. Let me go through this passage again just very quickly and point out a couple of things so that we can get some application for our lives today. This is again at John 6:47. Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. So he's connecting eternal life and himself. I'm the bread of life that gives you eternal life. He goes on. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat and not die. You can take care of your physical needs. You can have everything figured out, and still you're going to die. And then he says, I make it possible that you will not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm the living bread. He will live forever, and I'm coming to give life to the world. And so we want to just take a few minutes today and look at this. The basic idea is that Jesus is our soul food. He's the food for our soul. The manna came through Moses. He was the mediator of that. It was through his hand. And that's what they lived on. They didn't have anything else in the wilderness. And it came from heaven, but it was just physical bread, and they died. Jesus is not giving us just bread to eat so that we can die later on. He is God's eternal nutrition. He is, this is bread from heaven. The manna came from heaven, and this came from heaven, but this is a different kind of bread. Jesus himself is the bread from heaven. And so, three ideas that Jesus is bringing to us here. Firstly, that believing means making Jesus our soul food. That's what to believe is. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's vastly more than just agreeing with some theological points. Yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. That is important. And I need to mentally assent to that, and I need to live into that. But believing is more than just agreeing with those statements, like we're doing some favor to God. No, this is the bread of heaven. It gets into our whole being. So believing is more than just agreeing. Believing is more than just the rituals that we do. Rituals are good. We need rituals. We are physical beings. We are beings of habit. So we need to practice the habits of pushing the world out and away from us so that we can focus on the Lord. And yet, that is only part of our belief. It's what we do in as part of our believing, but it is not all of us. We practice rituals. I hope you practice rituals every day to get your mind off of everything that's in your scroll feed, to get your mind off of the things that you have to do today. Stop. Read this word. Stop. Talk to the Lord. And if nothing else, tell him something that he doesn't need to hear it, but you need to hear yourself saying it to him so that you're thinking about him and speaking directly to him. Lord Jesus, the Messiah, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Son of David, make me strong today. Pray that. Pray it more than once so that you're thinking that and you're saying that to the Lord, and you'll find out he's been listening all along. He's been listening to you. The question is, are you listening to him? And so that's one way that we help ourselves to listen to the Lord. We come together. to encourage one another. That's one of the main reasons in the New Testament why we gather together on the first day of the week, on Sunday, on the Resurrection Day. This is more, though, than just an American popular psychology exercise. It's more than just being optimistic around other people, even though we are optimistic people. It's more than a motivational seminar. We want to come together and encourage one another, but that's all a part of what it means to believe. Believing is understanding in the first instance. Yes, I have heard the word, I have heard the gospel, and I believe. But then I have to go further. I have to trust. I have to trust God with all the things that I don't know. Like, I don't know where I go after this body ceases to be alive. But I know that He knows. And I know Him well enough to trust Him with that. I understand, I trust, and I commit. I'm all in. Can you say that? I'm all in, Lord. Commit for the rest of my life. And that's the last part, the endurance. Will I endure? Will I run the whole race? Even, it doesn't mean you have to never make a mistake. Of course you're going to make mistakes. Of course we're all still sinners. And that becomes the hardest time. When I fall on my face, will I trust Him enough to get up? Am I committed to Him enough to get up and keep going? Will I endure? Understanding, trusting, committing, enduring. Will I endure the difficulties of this life as His child? That's a big part of our testimony to the whole world, is us living through the same life as everyone else, living through losing relatives, living through sickness, living through poverty. Whatever it is that we go through, that is our walk. That is our testimony. And even more difficult than enduring difficulties is enjoying our successes without being consumed by them. What do I need God for? I got cash. That's how our culture acts. That's how our culture thinks. And we have to be, if we believe, we're going to live beyond that. We're going to endure this life, the difficulties of it, and we're going to enjoy the successes of it, but we are going to do it as a believer. Then, believing means making Jesus our soul food, and then life forever comes by Jesus, our soul food. He makes that connection. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. And so Adam and Eve, they were put out of the garden. And they were put out of the garden, and they died eventually because they didn't have access to the tree of life. Jesus is our tree of life. He is the source of life. Life generates from Him. He created life. Now, our dear sister, Jane Norman, has passed away this week, and her body failed. It had been failing for a long time, but she decided a long time ago that Jesus was her center. Jesus was her soul food. And so she was all in. That was her attitude. I'm all in for Jesus, no matter how this plays out. And what a testimony that is to the world around. And she has now begun life, capital letters, life, like she never imagined before. And so finally, Jesus tells us that He gives Himself to to the world as our soul food. This bread is my flesh, he says, which I will give for the life of the worlds. Now there's a lot of debate. Jesus started a debate in this chapter following this section that we read. He sharpens the point. He tells these people who are looking for another meal and who are asking, are you as great? I mean, Moses gave us manna out of heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread out of heaven. I'm the nourishment. And then he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me. And people got up and walked away, left him. In fact, he was ended up standing there with his 12 disciples. Now, this is much the same as Jesus had said three chapters earlier in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to him in the night, and Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was gobsmacked. Born again? Why are you bringing my mother into this? You see, he lived at a very physical, flat level. And so now Jesus is talking about his flesh and his blood, and they're thinking, this man is teaching us cannibalism? What? And Jesus says to Nicodemus, and he's saying to them, he's saying to us, you should get this. If you stay in the physical realm of understanding, you will miss this. He's not saying the physical is wrong or bad. This is the reality that God has put us in. And so he gives us physical pictures to illustrate the spiritual realities we're engaging by having Jesus as our soul food. For being born again, baptism is a powerful picture of our rebirth. The Lord's Supper that we're going to share in just a few minutes is a powerful picture of the cost of redemption, flesh and blood cost. Baptism is a visual of us being wrapped up, totally ensconced in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We are wrapped up in his death, burial, and resurrection, and we will be raised again with him. Communion, the Lord's Supper, is a visual of us taking in Jesus as the bread of life. And so I would like for us to gather at his table, and he calls us, he invites us to his table. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you. We're going to share in these physical elements that bring us up to that place between heaven and earth. We have four stations around the room, two in the front, two in the back, as is our custom. And in a few minutes, I will ask that you come down the diagonal aisles and either direction and then return on the other aisle so that we can keep our traffic going the same way. But this is a great place that we have to be with the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this place and time together, sitting next to eternal creatures, your children, people that we will be with forever, people that you are doing your work in, people whose souls you are nourishing. I thank you, Lord, for these people around us. Lord, help us to love them. Lord, if we are at odds with any of them, would you make us forgive them right now? Hear us as we pray, Lord, forgive me for my sins as I forgive others for their sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with us in this time as we commune with you. Amen. Confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you affirm your faith with me today? Would you take a hymnal and turn to number 879, and as you get that in hand, stand together. 879. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remain standing if you would, and Monica's going to play for us. And come if you will and take the elements, and if you will take them back to your seat, and we will take them all together in just a few minutes. This bread, this matzo, to remember that we who are many are one body. We all partake of one loaf, one matzo. This is Messiah's body given for you. Take and eat it.
This cup is to remember that we who are many partake in one cup. It is the new covenant in Messiah's blood. Let's take it together. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As you have received Christ the Lord, so live in him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your great gift. Your gift that changed all of humanity for all time. Nothing was ever the same. We now live in a world where Jesus took on flesh. Jesus became a man and lived and taught us, healed us, and showed us what God is like. And then was crucified, was buried and raised again, and taken up into the heavenly places. We live in that world. Thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, for the life you give us. We thank you that you are the source of all life. You are the one who creates life and gives it. Thank you that you have given us life in Christ. Teach us how to live on the bread of life, to make him our constant source of nutrition. And these souls of ours, these very lives where our brain and our heart and our body come together and create and make us. You created that in your image. And Jesus is the one who restores that image in us by making us new, by making us born again. Thank you for that. We thank you for the real lives that we have right now. Lord, we lift up to you our request as you tell us. It is because of our weaknesses that we understand how strong you really are. And so we lift up those who are not well, those who are physically struggling right now. Hear us in the quietness of this moment as we pray for those near to us who are struggling with their bodies. Lord, we want to remember the Norman family today as they prepare for a service tomorrow in the viewing this afternoon, that you would bless them, that you would put your arms around them and remind them of your greatness and your love and your comfort towards them. Lord, I want to thank you for little Adelaide, my son-in-law's niece, who had open heart surgery again at the age of 4, and thank you that she is recovered and doing well. Lord, I want to lift up Bill Rockwell, who is facing some medical tests right now, and that asks that you would give him strength as he walks forward as one of your children in this world. Lord, we want to lift up your gospel as it goes out. Thank you for the people who carry it out. Thank you that Patience came and shared her vision for ministry in Chile. And we ask that you would bless her in this endeavor, that you would just let her know that you're with her every step of the way and bless her in this thing. We want to lift up that small handful of people that we actually know and actually bump into on a regular basis. Not our Facebook list, but Lord, the people that we can probably count on all of our fingers. We want to lift them up to you right now, the ones that you've put in our orbit and that we are here to bless. And so, Lord, hear us now as we pray their names before you. Bless them through us with the knowledge of Jesus. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for our relationships with one another, that network that we have in this place as a community of believers. Be glorified with us as we move forward into this new year with new things ahead of us, many new things. And so make us strong to stay on the pathway and to keep moving forward and to be your children in this world. And we will thank you. Would you stand with me now and pray that prayer that the Lord taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for being in this service today. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and grant you peace. Amen.